Hey, good morning, FSM. How are you guys?
Are only the 11th grade girls excited we're here? Because we can just, we'll just walk on out. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So, hey, let's introduce ourselves, because I think some of us know who we are. But my name is Michael, and this, as of June 1st of this year, is my wife, Elena.
Marriage is awesome.
Elena deserves lots of applause because she's lived with me for almost 7 months now. So she's a strong woman. But I get to lead a cell group for the 8th grade Bentonville boys. It's a ton of fun, very refining process, we'll call it. But then Elena gets to lead for 11th grade. So.
Yeah, so fun.
And Elena, do you want to take us through some of these slides of who we are and what do we love?
A couple things about us. One, we love ice cream. That's us eating the Super Center Sundae. Mm. You can get it at the Spark Cafe, $20. It's 20 scoops of ice cream and every topping that they have. It does.
It's
pine cones. Yep. But it's delicious ice cream and you get sick afterwards. So heed that warning. Secondly, we're both part Irish. So that's us in Ireland a couple months ago. We are best friends with the Chick-fil-A cow. So it made an appearance at our wedding. So that's what that picture is. And we both love to road bike and cycle. He's a lot faster and better than I am, but I try my best. So that's a little bit about us.
Yeah. So we're here this morning in the Christmas season, really to talk to you all about joy. But before we get started, it is Christmas. There's a Christmas story, and Elena is going to tell you all a nice little fireside story about Christmas.
Will you all join me as I share with you a fireside story about Christmas? So we're going to take it back quite a few years. Won't date myself. Was about 10 to 11 years old. And for a while, I'd really had this Christmas gift that I just really wanted because, you see, sledding was a really cool thing in my town because back in the 90s, we didn't really have technology. So, loved going outside, loved sledding, but my current sled was a sheet pan in the kitchen. Can any of the leaders, like, do you identify with that? Like, yeah, you didn't have a sled, right? So you'd sit on a little sheet pan, try to go, and then you'd face plant. That was about what sledding looked like in my life. So I was super excited. I had wanted this sled for probably about 3 years, and every Christmas I wouldn't get it, which is fine. And so finally, this 1 year comes, I finished unwrapping all my gifts, and I'm like, oh, please, God, like, I really want the sled. I won't crash on the slopes in my backyard that are, like, 2 feet. And so I open all my gifts, and no sled. Pretty disappointing. And my parents were like, hey, Elena, you want to run up to the attic? I think there's one more thing there. And I'm like, this is the moment. Like, if anyone's seen Christmas Story with the Red Ryder BB gun, that was me about the sled, okay? Obsessed. So I pull down the little ladder, dust falls on my head, you know, whatever, climb up, and sure enough, there's this beautiful sled, giant bow. And I remember experiencing, like, this is the happiest I've ever been. This is true joy. And what's interesting to me is that I got a lot of other cooler gifts in my life, right? Like, you get older, you get iPads, like, gifts that would be considered more valuable and cooler. But what made the sled so, so awesome was that I had been craving this sled and hoping for this sled and pursuing this sled for a really long time. And so it was this culmination in this building of excitement to where I finally received it. So we are going to talk about two things today. We only have 2 points for you guys, okay? We're going to make it really simple. What is joy and how do we receive joy? So Mike is going to kick us off with what joy actually is.
Yeah, actually, Elena, before, riddle us this, before we talk about what is joy not?
Ooh, what is joy not? So, okay, hopefully you guys will identify with this. Imagine that you walk into a Lululemon and everything's free. Everything. The $400 puffer jackets, the black leggings that everyone has matching of so we all look the same, the cycling outfits, the yoga clothes, athleisure, it's all free. That's actually not joy. As much as you all just like went to this pure state of utopia and happiness, that's actually not joy.
Yeah. And guys, I actually had an example as well about what is joy, but the Lululemon, I think, actually works better for you guys these days than a lot of the ladies in the room, so we'll just leave it at that. So let's talk about joy, and I think there's one thing that we really, this is kind of a sentence that we're going to dive really deep into today, but joy is an inner gladness, and it's a deep-seated pleasure that signifies a feeling of happiness that is based on spiritual realities and dependent on what is happening. So let this sink in. And what I really want to understand, because if we are going to understand joy, we have to understand that joy is a spiritual feeling. Joy is something that comes from our relationship with God. So this spiritual reality is something that has to make sense to us, and we have to understand what these spiritual realities are. And so if we look at what's happening now in Luke chapter 2, it says, hey, in short, be joyful because something is coming that you've been waiting for a long time, and something is coming that's actually going to help you get to where you want to be. So have joy. But we look at where Israel's at and where Jesus is coming down as a king, or for God's people even, and then we see there's things that we have to understand of what has happened. So this goes all the way back, guys, to Genesis. So the call. Israel's been waiting for this. God's people have been waiting for this joy to come. All the way since Genesis 12:1, God says, hey, I'm going to take you, Israel, Abraham, and set you apart, and I've got something better for you. I'm going to use you guys to make my name great, and I'm going to have a relationship with you, and I'm going to make you holy. Sounds familiar, right? Even as God's people today. So we have this call. We have this call that we're going to be different, and we're going to be special, and we're going to be used by God, and we're going to be close to God. And it sounds so good, and it makes our hearts and our souls just come alive. But then we have the fall. And the fall's happened over and over again in the history of Israel, and it's happened over and over again in our lives, to where in Isaiah 59 it says, our iniquities, our sin, actually separated us from God. So we were going to be a part of this great thing. God was going to build this great nation to bring Israel glory, or to bring God glory to the world. But yet their sin actually sent them into captivity, and their sin actually sent them away from God. So we've got this problem, but God is faithful and God has his promises. So God promises over and over again in Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9, hey, I've got something coming for you. I've got something coming. It's going to be born of a virgin. Here's a sign. Isaiah 9, it says, I've got something coming to you, and the government's going to rest on his shoulders. Guys, the king is coming. And God was so faithful to Israel in that. He was so faithful in Israel that all of a sudden, joy is here. But yet it looked a little bit different. We actually see in Isaiah 53, it says that this king that we are looking for, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. So kind of plot twist here, right? Israel, even us, we're like, oh, joy is here. Everything is going to be great. But yet Jesus comes in the form of a baby in a manger. Guys, in the first chapter of John, it actually says Jesus was there when the world was created. It was through him that all things were created. And Jesus enters back into his creation, and it doesn't even recognize him. In fact, his creation actually turned against him. And this baby that was born in a manger is actually on a fast track to a cross, which, buzzkill, sorry guys, that's kind of my tendency. But we have to look at that, and we say, well, what do we do now? And this thing of joy, all of a sudden, there's this immense feeling of suffering. And joy and suffering, they're like the two most opposite feelings that we could feel, right? So what in the world do we do with that? And that's where we're going to lead to today, and Elena's got some things now.
Now I have some things. So the second part of this definition that we put together is that joy also has to be independent of what is happening. Okay, so our circumstances and what we experience in the world do not dictate and cannot dictate and don't have the power to dictate what our joy is found in. So how many of you play some type of sport? Raise your hand. Yeah, play some type of sport. Most of you probably need legs or arms of some type to play a sport, right? So let's say you're the star of the football team or the lead dancer on your dance team and you break your leg or you break your arm. If your joy is founded in that sport, your joy has just been taken away from you completely, and you're left with nothing, all right? Or let's say that you have family members that you're really close to, and we live in a world that's really hard, and we lose family members, and we have parents that get divorced, and bad things happen to us, and we fail out of certain things. And if our joy is found in those, then we are left with absolutely nothing when our world crumbles and falls. So what I want you guys to understand is that in order to truly have joy, it cannot be dependent on what you are experiencing in your life. So quick recap, there's a couple people in the Bible that I think do a really good job of walking us through and showing us what it looks like to be in tough circumstances and to still come out with joy. So one that comes to my mind is Jacob. He has been pursuing this wife that he really wants, who's a babe, and her dad is like, dude, you gotta work for me for 7 years as a slave. And he's like, wow, that sounds like suffering, but I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to lean into that because I'm pursuing the joy of getting this wife. And then plot twist, he tells him again, oh, by the way, I'm going to give you my other girl. If you really want Leah, you need to work another 7 years.
That's a grade one bamboozle.
Bamboozled, yeah. So 14 years of being bamboozled to finally get what he wants. Another person I think of is Joseph, who you guys know, he was rejected by his own family. Does that relate with anyone? Does anyone feel like they've maybe been rejected by their family, by people in their school, people that they want to be their family? That's what Joseph experienced, and he still walked through, and God had this incredible future for Joseph. And if Joseph would have decided, hey, I'm just going to like sulk and never experience what God has for me, he would have never left his circumstances. A few other people I think of is Ruth, who lost a really, really close loved one. She lost her husband. Ruth and Naomi, and they battled this time of grief and suffering and mourning, but they allowed that mourning to turn into joy. And then another one who we're all really familiar with, Peter, or Paul, well, all of them. But Paul is the one that talks a lot about how he is constantly turning his suffering into joy. And so if you relate with any of those characters, I think that they do a really good job of showing us tangibly how things can be going on around us and our world can be a complete whirlwind. We can feel like we're in a tornado, like everything's going wrong, but they still were able to stand up, stand their ground, and pursue the one thing that brings them joy, which, shocker, I'm here to tell you is Jesus Christ, and that's a relationship with him, and we're going to talk about more about what that looks like. So one of the verses that I wanted to share with you guys that I think does a good job kind of tying this all together is John 16, 20 through 22. And it says basically that if a woman is giving birth, she has pain in that process, right? But the joy that comes out of having a child is a miraculous feeling. And it's one that really can't be replaced. And if she didn't go through the pain of childbirth, it would actually take away some of that joy. So the fact that she suffers through this physical suffering, 9 months of carrying a child, it builds, right? It's building and gravitating towards this release of pain and suffering that ultimately comes into joy. So to kind of break it down, joy is trusting when you want to doubt. Joy is receiving when you want to reject. And joy is ultimately, this is the hard one, this one gets me every time, is celebrating when you want to fear. So I don't know about you, but I get scared from a lot of things. Let's talk about last week when a police officer was shot in Fayetteville. Our city mourned, right? We were filled with fear that something can so quickly turn south and so quickly turn sour. But you know what? Our response is actually being able to celebrate that our God is still in control. We're not celebrating the fact that a life got taken. We're not celebrating the fact that there's evil or pain in the world, but we're celebrating the fact that our God is still good, our God is still here, and our God still cares. And so being able to celebrate when we're scared, being able to receive when we want to reject, and being able to trust when all we want to do is doubt, that is how we truly get to experience and welcome joy into our lives.
Yeah. So again, so we have joy now, and we want to receive it. We know are some of the things that we have to do, but what does that actually look like? So how do we receive joy? And going back to Jesus, guys, when I was talking earlier about joy and suffering, how the two are connected, Hebrews 2, so this is, again, it's saying Jesus brought joy to the world through suffering. And so thinking about that, Jesus had, from the very beginning, he had a mission. He was on God's plan to come back for the people from Isaiah 59, the iniquity separated us from Jesus, and he was headed to a cross to suffer. But what if Jesus would have said no to that suffering? What if he said, you know what, the cross was too much, I'm going to X that out. What then happens? The joy that he has now seated at the right hand of God is gone. The joy that we have now getting to accept a relationship with Jesus and that iniquity is no longer there is gone. And so there's this realization that joy is connected to suffering. And I actually had an old man once talk to me, and it's funny how old men talk. They usually say something you don't want to hear, but you're like, dang it, you're right. He was like, Mike, don't you know that great loving and great joy are also connected to great sorrow? And to great sorrow. And I was like, oh, that's not fun. Like, I want to have one, I don't want to have the other. But then he explained to me this. He goes, Mike, joy and suffering are connected. You can't have one without the other. And the thing is, what happens is, if you feel this suffering, if you say, I like the feeling of joy, but this suffering of loss, the suffering of maybe my parents left each other, or maybe one of my parents passed away, or my friends turned their back on me, that suffering that I'm feeling is too much. And you know what? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, I'm not going to feel suffering. I'm not going to let that in. And it seems kind of natural, right? But we have to fight it because they're connected. So if you say no to suffering, you're going to ultimately say no to this great experience of joy that we all long for, that connection with God. And what happens after that is that the two kind of lesser feelings that we have, because if you say no to suffering, you say no to joy, you can't have either. So then we get stuck in this happiness and sadness little cycle. And we can have happiness. It's not quite as good as joy, but it's okay. But then sadness too, sadness doesn't feel good. And so if I'm sad that maybe I don't have the image that I want in front of my friends, or I'm sad that I get cut from the sports team in high school, and that's not fun, so I'm going to say no to sadness. That has no place in my life. And what happens then is you have happiness and sadness no longer capable of being felt by you. And the dangerous thing, again, when we reject sorrow or we reject suffering, we reject sadness, and we don't let it have any place in our hearts, we end up in this pleasure and pain cycle. And at this point, it's, okay, I can't really have joy, I can't have happiness, and those are the things I'm meant for. Remember Genesis 12, like, I'm meant to have this great experience with God. I'm meant to have these joyful feelings, but I'm stuck in this pleasure that's so fleeting. It doesn't quite give me what I long for. And we realize that in our hearts, and it creates this pain and this longing. And the only thing we know at that point to satisfy our pain is to seek instant pleasure. And we get stuck in this cycle that we're no longer capable of experiencing what our hearts are truly made for. And so, guys, this is something that, even in order to experience true joy, we have to let this suffering become a part of our lives. Even personally, we'll get to that. So even in like suffering with your sin. So that's something that in this example specifically, personally, I really struggled with that because I didn't like the person that I was, and I was really shameful of that. So I said, I don't really want to face my sin. But 1 Peter 4 actually says that suffering often leads to the defeating of sin, and you can't defeat sin without suffering. So in this example specifically, my flesh, really when I was your guys' age, I didn't want to suffer, so I was just in this pleasure-pain cycle, and I didn't want to face my sin. And so it took finally to me getting to really the bottom of my life, to where my sin had really started to take hold of my entire life, that I was able just to look at suffering and sit there. And I was able to invite friends in and ultimately invite Jesus in. And that actually reversed a lot of this process. And then I was able to go back to experiencing joy because I was able to share my suffering with others. And it doesn't always have to be personal or personal circumstance. Sometimes it's even outside of your own control.
Yeah, so I have a situation when I think of suffering and I think of this idea of entering into joy, I go back to one of the first times I would say I really experienced joy. And it wasn't actually the sled. It was actually a Christmas about 6 years later that I would consider the hardest Christmas of my life. And it was a day where my dad decided to walk out on my family on Christmas Day. And so it's easy for us to sit here and be like, oh my goodness, that's so hard. But you know why that's my joyous Christmas? Is because that was the first time that I remember truly experiencing what it means to sit and suffer and say, okay, this is sin. It's not my personal sin. It's someone else's sin. But I'm going to sit and I'm going to suffer and I'm going to experience this and be able to look back to Jesus and still say, hey, you're good. And there's a Savior who's coming back for us. And that's joyous and that's hopeful. And so I could sit here and say, I'm going to become a Grinch and that I hate Christmas. And every time Christmas comes, I get upset and I get back into this cycle of feeling frustrated or angry. But I remember in that season, I was about a sophomore in high school, so the age of a lot of you guys in this room. And it was right when Jesus had really started to take hold of my heart. And it was like, there was just nothing in the world that could steal that from me. Because God promises us joy. And he doesn't say that it's going to be circumstantial. He says that it's founded on one thing. And that thing is in him. And that thing is our relationship with Jesus. And that is a free gift that we get offered. And so we can stand and we can have difficult things happen to us, even on Christmas Day. We can have times where we sit and we sulk at our own sin and we suffer realizing that we've messed up. And that can still bring us to joy, and it should bring us to joy. And so today, guys, if you hear nothing else, I want you to hear this final thought. And that is that joy is truly received when we can have a deep down sense of well-being that abides in our hearts, so that we can know that all is well between us and the Lord. And the only reason I'm able to love and celebrate Christmas and to enjoy Advent and to love December 25th to come around is because I know that all is well between me and the Lord. And I know that he has given us that relationship. And so, guys, I want to take us into a time of sweet reflection. Where we probably came into this room thinking there were certain things that brought us joy. Sleds are good. Family is good, right? Our community is good. And those things bring us joy, but they're not the source. They're not the root. There's one thing that allows us to experience this happiness, and that is Jesus. And so I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to pray for us. And after that, I want you guys to just take a couple minutes to reflect and say, is all well between me and the Lord? Can I truly experience joy? Because if you're struggling to experience joy right now and you're like, hey, that joy thing, I've never felt that. And quite honestly, I don't want it because suffering scares me. I want to tell you it's a beautiful thing when we can recognize the suffering of Jesus. We can enter into that and we get to experience this new life that's opened up. So I'm going to pray and I want you guys just to take a few minutes to think about where you're at with the Lord. And if you have any questions, feel free to talk to FSM leaders, the staff. Mike and I will be around, and we'd love to talk to you about that. So, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you that he chose, that you chose to suffer in our place so that we could experience joy. And we thank you that you came and you rescued us, and that is a gift that you have now given us to get to walk in this world that is full of sin and hate and fear and the unknown. And we get to stand in that and say we will not be shaken because of Jesus. And so we thank you for this opportunity to glorify you today. May we position our hearts and may we be filled with gratitude today as we reflect on the joy that you have given us. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for who you are.